The congregation is invited to stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your punishment now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning?
Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer.
And by night, but I find no rest.
Yet you are holy,
enthroned on the praises of Israel.
In you our fathers trusted.
They trusted, and you delivered them.
To you they cried and were rescued.
In you they trusted and were not put to shame.
But I am a worm and not a man,
scorned by mankind and despised by the people.
All who see me mock me.
They make mouths at me, they wag their heads.
He trusts in the Lord, let him deliver him.
Let him rescue him, for he delights in him.
Yet you are he who took me from the womb.
You made me trust you at my mother's breasts.
On you was I cast from my birth.
And from my mother's womb you have been my God.
Be not far from me,
for trouble is near, and there is none to help.
Many bulls encompass me.
Strong bulls of Bashan surround me.
They open wide their mouths at me,
like a ravening and roaring lion.
I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint.
My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast.
My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws.
You lay me in the dust of death.
The dogs encompass me.
A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet.
I can count all my bones.
They stare and gloat over me.
They divide my garments among them.
And for my clothing they cast lots.
But you, O Lord, do not be far off.
O you, my help, come quickly to my aid.
Deliver my soul from the sword,
my precious life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the mouth of the lion.
You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen.
I will tell of your name to my brothers.
In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you.
You who fear the Lord, praise him.
All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel.
For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted.
And he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him.
From you comes my praise in the great congregation.
My vows I will perform before those who fear him.
The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord.
May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord.
And all the families of the nations shall worship before you.
For kingship belongs to the Lord.
And he rules over the nations.
All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship.
Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive.
Posterity shall serve him.
It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation.
They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn,
that he has done it.
We pray the collect.
Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed, to be given into the hands of sinners, and to suffer death on the cross, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Our reading is from John chapter 16. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering a service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father? So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, a little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks and praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
We will reflect on a number of things from the reading from John chapter 16. I reread verse 33. "I have said these things to you that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We see that Jesus gave intensive and long teaching that last Holy Week. From the time he entered Jerusalem, he was teaching. He taught that night. If you remember, he even cleaned the temple, taught, and all that week taught. And now on Maundy Thursday, the night before, the night he was betrayed before he died, he gave teachings again. They're recorded in the three Gospels, and in this Gospel, in John chapters 13 through 17, is all what he said after he gave the Lord's Supper and before they went to the garden. And he wants them to know that what is going about and what is going to happen is not a mystery. They should know plainly. They should be comforted. They should be warned. They should be prepared. They should be advised to pray. So right up to the separation from his disciples, when Judas betrayed him, he was teaching. How would they know how to understand what was going to happen? He told them when he left, when he would go to the Father, he would send them the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would remind them of everything he had taught and teach it to them. And everything that was of Christ, of Jesus, he would give to them. He was not going to leave them alone. He would send them the Helper, the Comforter. When the Holy Spirit does this, he will glorify him. And that is part of what we do too when we gather on Holy Week. We hear the words brought and reminded by the Spirit to the disciples, the apostles. They wrote them down, passed down generations and centuries, and we receive them now. We receive the teachings of Christ so that we understand what his death and his resurrection are all about. He has not left us alone. But he's taught us. He is, as it was declared at the beginning of his ministry, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What does that mean? How does he do that? He's teaching us now with these words. He really wanted to comfort his disciples. They could continue talking to their Heavenly Father. Remember, it's Jesus that taught the Lord's Prayer. And how did he teach it? When you pray, pray like this: "Our Father who art in heaven." That's the number one thing. That's the lead of the prayer, is that they know that the God who has created them is their Heavenly Father. And Jesus taught them to speak that. And he teaches here too. You no longer have to pray and speak to me. You can speak straight to the Father in my name. And he hears you and he loves you. You don't have to be afraid when I leave and I'm not with you. When we believe in Jesus, we have understood and believed by the power of the Holy Spirit that he is God's love to us. He is a Savior given to us. When we pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus, we are saying, your Son is God. Your Son is my Savior. And in his name I can come to you because he even taught me to pray, our Father. So Jesus taught his disciples, pray in my name to my Father. The disciples were just about to see all kinds of horrendous things happen to their Lord and Master. They would see him betrayed. They themselves would run away. Peter would deny. The soldiers would arrest and mock. And he would be put on trial in front of the chief priests and Pilate and Herod and Pilate again. And the mobs would say, crucify him. They would see all these things. And these were real things that took place. They're not make-believe. But he wants them to see that he has overcome all these things. And though these are reality for a temporal passing time, he overcomes all for eternity. And so also for us, we see the evils of this world. And it's not make-believe. There are evils. But he says to us, I have overcome the world. You will have tribulation, but I have overcome all things. As we hear our Lord's words from the cross, we remember that he said them for us. They were written down for us to think about, meditate, and have faith in him. Know what he has done for us. And he reminds us, even though it's sad and terrible what he had to go through for us, he has overcome all things. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks that you have come into the world to be our Savior, to be the sacrificial lamb. We ask you to give us faith in your words and your teaching, to know that we are certainly forgiven in your name, and that we can pray to our Heavenly Father in your name. And all these words come by the power of the Holy Spirit. These things we bring to you in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the first two verses of 451, hymn 451.
Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. The deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that
The seven words from the cross. The Gospels record Jesus speaking seven times from the cross. Hanging on a cross made even simple breathing painful. To say the seven statements loud enough for people to hear cost Jesus physical pain and grief. Yet his words are full of grace and love for all his accusers and torturers, for a great sinner on the cross, for his disciples, and for his mother. His words are full of grief to be separated from the Father by the sin he bore. His words are obedience to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. His words declare victory over sin, Satan, and death. His words give up his spirit into his Father's care. The congregation reads the bold print words along with the pastor in the following readings. The first word from Luke 23, verses 32 to 38. Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said,
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the King of the Jews. We sing verses 3 and 4.
Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the
The second word from Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds? But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him,
Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
The third word from John chapter 19, verses 23 through 27. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother,
"Woman, behold your son."
Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to be to his own home. We sing hymn 547, verses 1 and 2. The fourth word from Matthew chapter 27, verses 41 to 43 and 45 through 47. So the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." We sing verses 3 and 4.
The lamb, the lamb, as wayward sheep their shepherd kill, so still his will on our behalf the law to fill. Worthy is the lamb whose death makes me his own. The lamb is reigning on his throne. He sighs, he dies, he takes my sin and wretchedness. He lives, forgives, he gives me his own righteousness. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning on his throne.
The fifth word, from John chapter 19, verses 28 and 29. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, so as to fulfill the scripture,
I thirst.
A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. The sixth word, John chapter 19, verse 30. The congregation is invited to stand. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said,
"It is finished."
And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. We sing the Agnus Dei hymn 434. Seventh word from Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 49. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said,
"Father, into your hands I commit my spirit."
And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for the spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. We sing hymn 436.
Go to dark Gethsemane, all who feel the tempter's power. Your Redeemer's conflict see, watch with him one bitter hour. Turn not from his griefs away, learn from Jesus Christ to pray. Follow to the judgment hall, view not suffering shame or loss, learn from him to bear the cross. Calvary's mournful mountain climb, there adoring at his feet, mark that miracle of time, God's own
in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.